detainees, women, and children. In addition, 11 Thai nationals and one Philippine citizen have been released. This coming at the start of a four-day ceasefire, which is holding. The Red Cross taking them from Gaza through Egypt, and then the Israelis will be brought into Israel.
They're going to be brought here to hospitals in Tel Aviv, we believe to five hospitals here, where they will, some of them will require probably urgent medical care. We don't know what state these people are in. We don't know if some of them could have been wounded even during the attack on October 7th. But they will be brought here, and they will be given then the opportunity in the hospitals to finally meet their families after 49 days.
ABC's Patrick Rievel. More Black Friday discounts are meant to entice American shoppers to open their wallets even more. But overall, consumers may be a bit weary this holiday season, saddled with higher credit card debt and watching their savings dwindle. This is ABC News.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However,
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in Marinette are reopening a 37-year-old cold case. The Sheriff's Department is asking for any new leads in the murder of David Hunter. Investigators say he was killed at a makeshift camp in the woods near Niagara in 1987. The Sheriff's Office is not saying why it's reopening the case now. Disability-related complaints with the Federal Department of Transportation are on the rise this year. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says airlines can't keep putting off becoming more accessible.
The baby boomers are aging rapidly. More and more of us will be disabled. This is no longer an issue that's pushed off to the corner of the desk. This is front and center.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. There's a little more than 31 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and Black Friday is the official start to the holiday shopping season. The National Retail Federation is predicting most of you will spend an average $800 on gifts, decorations, and more, which is up $50 from last year. Retail experts also say many shoppers are looking for the best deals and are planning to compare prices between Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, trying to wrap up gift buying early in the season. It's actually not something new. The organizers of the Macy's Parade considered their event the start to the holiday season, and in the early years called it the Macy's Christmas Parade to encourage shopping right after it. One more seasonal tie-in, the song called One Horse Open Sleigh, was meant for Thanksgiving. It instead became so popular during holiday shopping, it had to be renamed Jingle Bells. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin and Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Badgers against the Gophers. It's been 3 years since the Badgers won the Paul Bunyan Axe. Wisconsin with a long list of injured players. Who's going to play? Head coach Luke Fickell.
There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns for us. Anybody that has the opportunity to play will play in this game.
NFL, the Packers beat the Lions 29-22 at Ford Field. Matt LaFleur says his offensive and defensive lines made the difference.
Anytime you drop back against Detroit or throw 30-plus passes and you come out away with zero sacks, and then conversely what we were doing up front on the other side of the ball, that was really the difference.
At 8-3, are the Lions getting a little overconfident? Head coach Dan Campbell.
I don't think our guys are on cruise control. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter who comes in here. When they play a perfect game, if we don't play our best when they're playing a perfect game, things like that'll happen. We go and turn the ball over three times against every opponent we have left, the odds of winning are going to be pretty slim.
That's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 28 this afternoon. Under sunny skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 18 tonight, cloudy. High of 30 tomorrow. A dusting of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 25.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is Friday, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving 2023. Welcome into the show. And Mr. Zommers, are you out buying? We're pre-recording this. So will you be on Good Friday or Black Friday, that is, out and buying things?
Nope. I will be at home hanging out with my family. Depending on when my dad gets home, maybe I'll go out deer hunting.
Oh, very good.
When he gets home, he's right up north hunting right now.
All right. Very good.
Or potentially, I don't know.
You'll figure it out. I'm going to be spending time in the RC with family and friends, so we'll enjoy that. We're going to look back right now on this Black Friday at our first year anniversary from a couple of weeks ago. We're replaying this. It includes our CEO and president, Sage Weil. It is a great half hour. Enjoy it now on this Black Friday. A look back at our 1 year anniversary show on the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. But yes, we have arrived at the 1 year anniversary, and to celebrate that and to honor that, I have some very special guests coming up here at about 20 minutes past the hour here in the noon hour. Our owner and CEO, Sage Weil, is going to be along and talk a little bit about not just our show, but Civic Media at large. He's been talking here internally about some of the things that we're looking at covering and how we cover it moving into 2024. So Sage Weil, our CEO, will be here at 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. And then at 12:30, as it turns out, it is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers here at 12:30. And going to be talking a little news headlines, as well as some sports. We usually touch base, and I said what I wanted to talk about. He goes, it's all sports. I said, well, I don't know. So he's got a news item.
All right, there we go.
And so
A little balanced.
And so we'll be talking Supreme Court issues coming up with Luke Mathers as well, 12:30. And then at 1:30, in the second hour, our co-executive producer of this program, Chris Pauls, will be along as well, who is also at cracked.com. Did you know Mr. Zommers, he's also a musician?
I did. He plays guitar, right?
Yes, plays guitar for a great band here in Wisconsin called Super Tanker. They have new music out. And
whoa,
so he will be here talking about this new album that is being released via Spotify and other places as well, I assume. But we'll talk to Chris Pauls, find out what's on his mind at 1:30 as well. So Sage Weil, Luke Mathers, Chris Pauls all joining us today on our 1 year anniversary. Mr. Zommers has a Weezer t-shirt on. It's fantastic.
I do have a Weezer shirt on from a concert that I went to that I've probably talked about before. Mm. But Mike Crute, host of the Devil's Advocates, he also noticed it coming in. He was like, Weezer, yeah.
That was a big Jeff Perry could tell us for sure. I believe Weezer made their network television debut on David Letterman.
I don't know.
It might not be true. If Jeff's listening, he'll let us know. But Weezer was a favorite band of David Letterman's. Well, I mean, a favorite to be on the show for a long time, and Paul Schaefer. So very good. Well, congratulations, Mr. Zommer. We have made it to the 1 year mark. Any reflections from you at this point in time?
I I'm really happy to be here for 1 year. It's gone by very quickly, but a lot has happened for sure. And I can definitely say that starting this show, Todd took me out to pizza and talked about it and talked about his past, why he's doing a show, what he wants it to look like, and asked what I wanted it to look like. And I just remember thinking, what do I want it to look like? What do I have to do with this? It's the Todd Albaugh show. But he really wanted to make it a collaborative effort. And I think that I am very grateful for that opportunity. And it's been so much fun the whole time.
Well, and equally on my part as well, but a lot of fun, but great getting to know one another. You've been a huge part of this and how it sounds on the air in particular. I really appreciate your professionalism, and it's been a great adventure. And you know, we got hopefully another one in us at least.
Absolutely.
So a very important one coming up in 2024. So we'll have some more reflections on the past year as the day continues. But the big shout out I would like to shout, not just to you, Mr. Zomers, for all your fine work and partnership and friendship in this, but also to our listeners, because we started in the morning at 8 o'clock, and then we went to the afternoon at 1 o'clock, and now we're starting at noon. And many of our core listeners have followed us through all the time changes and everything else. And I just so appreciate everybody who has stuck with us, who listens in either live over the air on the Civic Media app or on the podcast version as well. Appreciate all of those great people who tune in, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube as well, because without you all, quite frankly, we would not still be here. So the credit goes to each and every one of you for tuning in and listening to us and calling in and texting in, because that really is what makes the show live and breathe. It's not just
absolutely
not just me, not just Somers. It's all of us. So thank you all, one and all. 11 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Want to start out today with a good news story. Feels like a lot of times we don't have good news to share. This headline on CNN: Biden, President Biden, says a deal to free the hostages held by Hamas, quote, is going to happen, unquote, as officials say they are nearing an agreement. I think this is a great way to start the show, because as we move into 2024, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, having hard conversations, but having factual conversations. And one of the things I think that we are missing a lot in much of mainstream media is talking about the successes that are out there. And I'm willing to talk about successes, be they the impetus of Democrats or Republicans. But as of late, it seems like there have been more successes on the Republican side. But hey, I will give credit. I mean, one of the things that is happening right now at the state capitol is a bipartisan bill they are working on to address PFAS and water contamination. I'm happy to give Republicans in the legislature credit. Those in particular, Rob Coles, Republican state senator from Green Bay, who is working in a bipartisan manner to get real solutions. But here, breaking news, not breaking, but news today. President Joe Biden said today he believes a deal can be reached to release hostages being held by Hamas in Gaza, voicing optimism as he tells CNN that prolonged talks to free hostages are nearing an agreement. Quote, I've been talking with people involved every single day. I believe it's going to happen, but I don't want to get into detail, unquote, the president told White House reporters this morning. A senior U.S. official familiar with the talks said today that Israel and Hamas are moving closer to a deal to secure the release of hostages taken during the Hamas attacks on Israel in exchange for a sustained days-long pause in fighting. The official stressed that while the parties have inched closer to striking a deal, the talks remained volatile and could still break down. Quote, it's closer, but it's not done, unquote. One European diplomat yesterday expressed optimism that some hostages could be released in the coming days or weeks. This is great news. And we've talked about this in a Wisconsin context, in particular here in Madison on the campus, but I know other university campuses across the state, in other communities across the state. There have been pro-Israeli rallies. There have been pro-Palestinian rallies. I think there's a lot of disinformation out there and people getting riled up for perhaps the wrong reasons. But I think that we can all agree that any sort of hostages should be released, that innocent lives should matter on every side. Shouldn't matter what people's nationality is in terms of whether a life is sacred. But I think this is really positive news. And again, I point out that this could only come about if you have someone in the White House who is experienced, who knows all the players, who understands the volatile, tender, dry danger of negotiations at this level. To the White House official's point here, this story, very volatile and it could break down any time. But here's a guy, Joe Biden, who has been in the United States Senate, spent years there, leadership, chaired committees, chair the House Judiciary Committee, vice president for 8 years, and now president. And it takes that kind of gravitas, that kind of experience to create a team. It's not just him. It's the people that he chooses to head up the State Department, Antony Blinken. It's the people in the National Security Advisor, people that he appoints to ambassadors and shared affairs. It's the team that the president assembles that can get results like this. And again, I understand it's not done. But while others have been calling for extremes, I'll say, here's a president who has stood with Israel, not necessarily the Netanyahu government, but the Israeli people and our alliance with Israel, but yet has been negotiating behind the scenes, and it looks like now we're getting close to a situation where we have hostages that may be released, particularly American hostages, both Israeli-Americans and Palestinian-Americans, and that there will be perhaps a 4 to 5 day ceasefire to allow this to happen and for more humanitarian aid to get into Gaza. I'm very thankful that we have a person like Joe Biden in the White House right now. Somebody who can negotiate these things. And again, not a guy who is politically sexy from a media standpoint, not media sexy. Doesn't get you the great clickbait quotes that Trump does. But he just gets things done. Went and got gas last night, $2.93. $2.93. As we go into Thanksgiving, as we go into the holidays, gas prices coming down. Inflation, the lowest of any other democratic country in the world. And I get it that prices at the grocery store, they're still high. Not everything is coming down. But if you look at what this president has done in 2.5 years, compare unemployment, record lows, job creation, record highs. A lot of great things have been done over the last 2.5 years of a Biden administration and with a lot of opposition in Congress. And again, I want to point out, it's not just one person. It ain't just all Joe Biden. It is the people that he appoints. And I think if you juxtapose that to what we talked about yesterday with Donald Trump, the people that he wants to appoint, again, I ask yourself, as a former Republican, does this align with what you believe? What Trump wants to do versus what Biden is already doing? That's how we open the show. We come back. We talk to our owner and CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, on the other side. Do not go anywhere. You're going to want to hear from him moving into 2024. This is the Todd Allball Show in Civic Media.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station
Nation wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr. You've probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows like Friends for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Welcome back in on a Tuesday, November 14th. Mr. Zommer's on the board. Glad to have you along across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the app around the world. If you haven't got the app, it's a perfect time to do it. Just open up your iPhone or your Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C. It'll pop up a beautiful little CM logo there. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It is free, gratis, no dinero. Won't cost you a dime. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. The Civic Media app, download it today. The person who created the Civic Media app or had the idea for it, and this entire network, joins us now on our one-year anniversary. That's right. It was 1 year today that our show signed on the air. We are grateful to be here 1 year later. The CEO and owner of Civic Media, Sage Weil, joins us live in studio. Sage, how the heck are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing there, Todd?
Well, we've survived a year, so not bad at all.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you to you. Before we start, I just want to say, Zommer's, I talked about at the top of the show, it is a privilege and an honor to have this opportunity to have a microphone, to go across the state, to be on an app that goes around the world. I don't take that for granted, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity and Civic Media for supporting us and putting us on the air.
We are thrilled to have you on the air.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. 1 year later, we look at our show and kind of look back at what we did and where we're going. You've spent time, you know, here at Civic Media internally, recently talking about, as we move into 2024, some goals in terms of how we want to talk about things. And I just wonder if you could share a little bit of that. And again, this has not changed. I've told this story before, I'm going to tell it quickly again. When I had my first interview with you, you know, I thought it was a little too good to be true because, A, who the heck is buying small radio stations across anywhere right now? And number two, usually there's an agenda, a large one-sided agenda to it. And so I asked you, I said, well, what's the deal here? What do you want me to say? And you simply said, to tell the truth and do it with integrity. And I can tell people 1 year later that has not changed. Talk, if you could, please, about what you've been telling us internally about where Civic Media is going in 2024 and what are the things you want to focus on.
Sure. I mean, I think the reality is there is an agenda, but that agenda is simply democracy writ large. So a year ago, when we were first getting off the ground and getting started, we went through sort of a mission, vision, core values sort of exercise, and we were a much smaller company then. But it was a great process. People were very involved and very enthusiastic, and we settled on a mission and vision statement and a set of core values that include, you know, democracy, transparency, a bunch of stuff. And it's all on our website. So this is all fully transparent. And I think it was very helpful early on to sort of make everyone understand the reason why we're here and what gets us up every morning, and what the goals for the network are. But fast forward a year and we're roughly doubled in size as far as people. There are a lot of new people involved, and it felt like it was time to sort of revisit that a little bit, and also just take another pass over those statements, make sure that they were still as clear and concise as possible, and try to tighten it up a little bit. And so we had a number of discussions internally and so on and so forth. And so this week sort of we came up with our sort of new revised mission and vision statement, which are largely unchanged, except that they're much shorter and more concise, and I think a little bit more direct and forceful. And so I guess you want me to share
a couple, but before you do that, I just want to talk a minute about, and again, you've been very transparent in the past. You've been a large donor to Democratic candidates, mm-hmm. and there's no secret there. And I think that's great that you don't hide that. But again, you've told us internally to all hosts, all producers, that we're not here to promote intentionally a particular political side. It's whoever buys into pro-democracy, we're here to talk about that and them.
Yes, 100%. Yes. And it's sort of an awkward political moment right now where you have only two political parties of note, and one of them is sort of actively trying to dismantle many of these institutions and norms. And so you only have sort of one choice if you want to vote pro-democracy, at least if you're paying attention to what's going on. But I view this as sort of a short-term situation. And I want to be very clear that as soon as we have Republican candidates who are championing democratic reforms that are valuable and actually improve the transparency and the ability of the electorate to select candidates that will truly reflect their wishes, then we would 100% want to support those people as well. This is not about one party over another. It's about candidates who are defending and championing democracy and the democratic process, so that we can get to a point where we can improve the system and not just sort of prevent it from crumbling.
I had an eye-opening moment like last week when you and I talked briefly, or maybe it was, time goes so fast now. I'm getting old, Sage. But he's still young. I'm getting older. But I think you nailed it when we were talking about in terms of people who bring to the table, and you're a big proponent of ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. And we had a caller call in last week who echoed this. And I said, but Sage, this isn't going to change anytime soon until we have a different legislature. And you said what?
I said that we have to be able to look beyond sort of the immediate steps that need to be taken in order to preserve the system that we have, and be actively educating the electorate and informing people about what reforms are possible so that we can demand those reforms of the candidates that we're voting for. And I think I often come back to the example I guess it was in the 90s when the Newt Gingrich, I think it was the yep. Contract with America. Is yep. this.
94.
And I was like, I think in middle school or high school, whatever. So I like barely, barely remember how this actually happened. But I think the concept is great, where you clearly identify what your legislative agenda is, mm-hmm. and you get all of the candidates in the legislative candidates to sign on to that, so that you can then hold them accountable. And I would love to see a similar sort of initiative this year, particularly if we can get maps that are more fair, because then a lot of these districts will be competitive and the candidates will be scrambling a little bit. But if we can identify a series of democratic reforms that we believe are going to improve, and when we can get those legislators to pledge that they're going to support those or whatever, then we can hold them to account. I think there's an opportunity there.
I do too, and I think it's great. Again, this doesn't mean that every person has to agree on taxes, for instance, but if people just agree on democracy, you know, we can promote those people, yes. even though they might not have a large D behind their name. If they're just simply in favor of democracy and say, hey, if I get to the legislature, I'll vote for ranked choice voting, you know, that's somebody that you can get, yeah. that we can talk about.
And I think that, I mean, when you look at the polling, you see that the support for the rate at which people identify with a particular political party is steadily declining. I think it's at like 25% now on the left and on the right. And you have like a whopping 50% of people who don't consider themselves a Democrat or Republican or are frustrated with both parties or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think this is an opportunity for us to build an environment where there are more than two political parties, and more importantly, to frame our sort of our social identity, our tribe, if you will, in nonpartisan terms. Like my hope for civic media is for us to create sort of a new team democracy, let's call it, where people have decided that they are more interested in preserving a democratic system than in furthering the sort of divisive issues that are sort of dominating the current conversation.
Sage Weil, owner of Civic Media and CEO. We thank you, my friend. Thanks for being here. Hopefully we'll be here again to talk about it and review it in year number two. Back with Luke Mathers on the other side of Civic Media.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County leaders say they're pleased with the deal to sell about 2 square miles of Mount Pleasant's Wisconsin Innovation Park to Microsoft. They tell the Journal Sentinel it will put the business park built for Foxconn on firm financial footing. Microsoft is buying $100 million in land. It would pay enough taxes over the years to cover the cost of the tax district's debt. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A new survey is revealing some interesting things about the food you may be sharing this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, including the calories you may consume. A new Harris poll showing the majority of Americans say there's almost turkey, cranberries, and pumpkin pie as a guarantee. But the survey also reveals 65% of those responding don't even like some of these holiday dishes, yet eat it because of the tradition. The poll also indicates a surprising number of people say they actually prefer eating the leftovers during the weekend rather than the actual holiday meal. One result, which may not be surprising, the average number of calories consumed during your holiday dinner. It's around 4,500, about twice the calories suggested by health experts on any other day. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Wisconsin and Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Badgers against the Gophers. It's been 3 years since the Badgers won the Paul Bunyan Axe. Wisconsin with a long list of injured players. Who's going to play? Head coach Luke Fickell.
There's a lot of unknowns. There's a lot of unknowns for us. Anybody that has the opportunity to play will play in this game.
NFL, the Packers beat the Lions 29-22 at Ford Field. Matt LaFleur says his offensive and defensive lines made the difference.
Anytime you drop back against Detroit or throw 30-plus passes and you come out away with zero sacks, and then conversely what we were doing up front on the other side of the ball, that was really the difference.
At 8-3, are the Lions getting a little overconfident? Head coach Dan Campbell.
I don't think our guys are on cruise control. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter who comes in here. When they play a perfect game, if we don't play our best when they're playing a perfect game, things like that'll happen. We go and turn the ball over 3 times against every opponent we have left, the odds of winning are going to be pretty slim.
That's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs around 28 this afternoon. Under sunny skies, winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. 18 tonight, cloudy. High of 30 tomorrow. A dusting of snow Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 27.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on this special Black Friday edition, pre-recorded along with Mr. Aaron Zommer as we look back at some of our favorite conversations. And one of them was with our friend Matt Solomon from Crack.com, looking back at 75 of the best sketches scenes of Phil Hartman during his days on Saturday Night Live. We pick up the conversation. We welcome back to the program a great talent, a great writer. He writes over at Cracked.com. He is Matt Solomon, a mutual friend of ours, Chris Paul's, here in Wisconsin. We know CP pretty well, Matt, but welcome back to the program. We love having you
on. Yeah, I didn't know who you were talking about there. But that was me.
Yes, of course it was. Of course it was you. We appreciate coming on. Remind folks that might not have listened to us before, now that we're on a statewide audience, kind of where you grew up and how you got into being a comedy writer.
Wow, that's a long story. I'm from Peoria, Illinois, originally, which is not a bad place for comedy people to come from. It's also the home of Richard Pryor and Sam Kinison and other kind of story. I do not put myself into that category. I'm more of an observer than a practitioner of comedy, but I've been in Madison, Wisconsin since the late 1980s. I've done a lot of improvisational and sketch comedy here in Madison. I was a contributor to The Onion for more than 15 years, and most recently I am a writer on the comedy beat for Cracked.com. So we cover comedy news, but also I get the opportunity to sink my teeth into larger projects around comedy from time to time. And I get to talk to some of my childhood comedy heroes in doing so. So it's a very fun, cool gig.
And you mentioned these deeper pieces. This is one of the great things about Cracked that I love, is that it's not just every day is kind of short things that make you laugh, although there's many pieces like that. But every once in a while, you get one of these really deep dives into the history of comedy and some of the big giants in it. And this piece entitled The 75 Greatest Phil Hartman SNL Sketches, according to his castmates and writers. How did you come to kind of have the idea to write it? And how long did it take to put all this together?
The idea was kind of a joint idea, I guess, that grew out of our editorial brainstorming. But we recognized that Mr. Hartman would have been 75 this fall.
Wow.
And that's crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he's a contemporary of Lorne Michaels. Lorne Michaels turned 79 this week. So wow. Just to put into perspective of, I know that's making my hair turn gray just saying that as well. But, and we just started thinking about, what might Phil Hartman have been doing had he still been with us. But also it just seemed like an opportunity to celebrate Phil. We weren't the only ones who did it. Dana Carvey and David Spade did a really long two-part retrospective on their Fly on the Wall podcast, where they talked to a lot of former writers and cast members as well. So we must have had some parallel thinking along those lines, because I think when you hit those big numbers, 50, 75, 100, it's just a good opportunity to take stock of what a man's comedy career was like.
One of the cool things about this piece, and again, I always enjoy a writer's perspective or a reporter's perspective, but for a piece like this, I think it's particularly insightful for us, the reader, to hear about things from the perspective of people who actually knew the subject, who hung out with them, who drank with them, who ate with them, who acted with them. And you've certainly done that here with this piece. Tell folks a little bit about some of the people you talked to put this retrospective on Phil Hartman together.
Sure. I will tell you, it was, unfortunately for me, I was putting this together during both the writer's strike and the actor's strike. And there were, I got some very polite no's, mainly because people felt like, you know, Adam Sandler's folks, Sarah Silverman's folks were just like, hey, this will be indirectly promoting a television show and we just can't do that right now. But right. I did, I was fortunate enough to get to talk to Al Franken, who both performed with Phil and wrote sketches for him. Nora Dunn, who was a castmate of Phil's, who we struck up a very fun, friendly email correspondence. I spoke with Robert Smigel, who people might, who was a legendary Saturday Night Live writer, but people may remember him more as Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Also, all of the TV Funhouse cartoons that ran on Saturday Night Live for many years, so that was all Smigel.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep. And finally, I talked to Tom Farley here in town, who, as many people know, was Chris Farley's brother, and Chris really had a almost a, you know, looked up to Phil as almost like a father figure. So I wanted to get some of that perspective too, those memories of the Farleys had of Phil Hartman.
In talking to all these folks, and I can only imagine the conversations, but was there, are there one or two things that really rise to the top and things that either surprised you or you hadn't heard or didn't know before you did this piece about Phil Hartman?
Yeah, I am kind of an amateur Saturday Night Live historian. So, I mean, a lot of these stories have been around for a while. But I did hear a couple that I hadn't heard before. One that's coming to mind immediately is Tom Farley telling me about a time that he and the family went out to see Chris, and Phil Hartman, if I'm remembering this story correctly, forgive me, Tom, if I don't have every detail correctly, took them to a art museum in New York, and Tom Farley was just blown away by Phil Hartman's knowledge of art, you know, classical art, and just kind of was basically like a tour guide explaining all the great works of art. And he just, and also was just like, it was so decent and sweet of him to take the Farley family on this excursion. People may not know that not only did Phil Hartman have an extensive knowledge of art, he was a talented artist as well, and he designed a lot of classic album covers.
Really?
Back in the 70s and 80s. I might have to look this up here while we're talking, but say like for Poco and for
just the fact that and this will always amazes me. And
Steely
by the way,
Dan, he was a graphic designer before he Crosby, Stills and Nash's logo was designed by Phil Hartman.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So before he got involved in the Groundlings, which is an improvisational comedy group in Los Angeles, he was a graphic artist, and so he was known. I mean, there's so many people on that. So, you know, when you talk about like the Adam Sandlers and the Chris Farleys and the David Spades, these were basically fraternity brothers who only cared about comedy. And they were always kind of blown away by how Phil Hartman was also had this extensive knowledge of classic cars and surfing philosophy and graphic design. And he was really a Renaissance man.
That's so super cool. Talking right now with Matt Solomon. He is a writer at crack.com and talking about his great piece. You can find it right now at crack.com called The 75 Greatest Phil Hartman SNL Sketches, according to his castmates and writers. Let's get into it, Matt. Start wherever you want to start, but give us a couple of these 75 greatest sketches of Phil Hartman.
Sure. You know, it's hard to talk about Phil Hartman without noting that his castmates had a nickname for him, and that nickname was the glue. And what that meant was, I mean, you could put Phil Hartman in the lead of a sketch. He could be the unfrozen caveman lawyer, or he could be the anal retentive chef, and he could, you know, do some crazy character and just hold the whole thing together. But he was equally valuable, or maybe even more valuable. He could play the boss, or he could play the dad, or he could play the doting husband who had no particularly funny lines necessarily in the sketch, but he would just give this gravitas and anchor the sketch in reality so that, for example, when he's playing the father of the wayward teens in the first Matt Foley Van Down by the River sketch, when Farley's just going crazy, that sketch works because you've got Phil Hartman as the horrified father who seems like a real guy who can't believe this force of nature just blew into this hurricane of a man, blew into his house. You see, you know, David Spade cannot, Christina Applegate cannot keep a straight face in that sketch. They both are kind of hiding their face in their hands because they're just losing it. Phil Hartman is a rock in that sketch. He is just 100% the horrified father. You can see him kind of scheming, how are we going to get Matt Foley out of the house and lock the door and call the cops? He was just such a valuable asset for the show's writers, because you could always put Phil Hartman in a sketch and he would do something to make it work, even if he wasn't like telling jokes necessarily or doing a crazy character.
And as you touched on, he probably, I mean, yes or no, or agree or disagree, maybe a better way to put it, he was one that was able to probably keep his composure and not break character the best. I mean, a lot of Farley would just crack all these other people up.
Farley, I just read something this week, or Norm MacDonald was talking about Farley's goal when he was in a sketch with you was to try to make you crack up, even though right. That was a Lorne Michaels no-no. Right. Farley was just saying he was just going to do anything he could to make you crack up. But you're right. Hartman was, he was in so many sketches, and people will point to like, oh, there's that one time where the corner of his mouth started to turn up a little bit. You could never do that with Horatio Sands or Jimmy Fallon because they cracked up seven times the show. But it's like, you know, over the course of like 8 years, it was like, oh, there's that one time when Phil almost started to smile. He was just so good at keeping a straight face. So he was just a Swiss Army knife for Saturday Night Live's writers. You could, he could make anything work. Before I forget this thought, yeah. When we came up with the idea, 75 sketches, the best 75 sketches, not just 75, but the best 75, I thought, like, that's just way too many. I'm not going to be able to find that many videos even. It was amazing to me how many sketches he was in, how many sketches it was very easy to point to him and say, this sketch works because of Phil, whether because he's leading it or because he's doing something intrinsic to making it work. So,
and I think he's one of those characters where I guess each of us, you know, for us of a certain age, I'm 54 now, and I look back at certain eras, and to me, that era of Saturday Night Live is still some of the funniest and best stuff of my memories of the show, but each of us has that. But I think for that era, Phil Hartman just personifies that, at least to me.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I mean, the show was really in danger before Hartman arrived. There was, you know, Lorne Michaels left in after the fifth season. Yeah. They brought in a cast with Charles Rocket and Denny Dillon and
who?
right. Gilbert Gottfried was in that cast, but that entire cast lasted a season. It was a disaster. Eddie Murphy came in, and that helped for a little while. But it was really only when Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, and Jan Hooks showed up that the show really kind of got back on its feet again.
Stay tuned. More with Matt Salama, a writer at Crack.com, talking about Phil Hartman on the 75th, that would have been his 75th birthday. Back with more with Matt and Reflections, the 75 best sketches of Phil Hartman. More on the other side. This is the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn, direct in after the news. History always happening every minute of every day. Matt Flynn will take you to the front lines of history being made today on Matt Flynn Direct, coming up after the news at the top of the hour. You do not want to miss it. You're going to want to also continue to tune in for our final segment here with Matt Salomon, great writer at Cracked.com, has a great piece out right now. You can find it at Cracked.com. Looking at what would have been the 75th birthday of Phil Hartman and looking back at the 75 best and greatest sketches, according to his co-stars and friends and people that worked with him in his history at SNL. Matt, thanks again for taking the time to be here. This is fantastic. Let's get right into just a couple more of these sketches that you have found in your writing, in your research, that other people would have said would have been among his 75 best.
Al Franken specifically only wanted to talk to me to talk about one sketch. And that was a sketch. If people haven't seen it, this was, I'm trying to remember if this was when Bill Clinton was running for president. I think he had just been elected president. And Franken wanted to do a political, or wanted to do a sketch around Bill Clinton, but didn't want to do a press conference or sitting in the White House. So instead, he put Bill Clinton in his element, which was out on a jog with the Secret Service men and running into a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And what's great about this, this was a perfect one, in Franken's opinion, about why Phil was the glue. He just goes from different cast member to different cast member to different cast member. It's to Chris Rock, to Rob Schneider, to Chris Farley, being a man of the people, stealing their French fries. Hey, you're going to finish that quarter pounder, you know, are you done with that filet of fish? Yeah. But in the, but also, like, while he was doing it, he would just start spilling all of this wonky policy while he's stealing your French fries,
right.
Which was, I'm just going to read a little, just one line from what, yeah. Franken City 6, when we say he's the glue, think about how many people he interacts with in that sketch and how his rhythm is the thing that holds it all together. He was just the perfect take on Clinton at the time. That was such a seminal, Saturday Night Live really does a great job of telling America who these guys are in really, from Chevy Chase making us all believe that Gerald Ford was a klutz to, what Will Ferrell did with Bush, So there's a long history of that.
Well, and to your point, I mean, I think everybody else in late night, other late night hosts kind of took off on that. And suddenly Clinton became synonymous with Big Macs and being in a sweatsuit and jogging. I mean, that became the joke every place else after Phil Hartman did it.
Right. One thing that I really love that Hartman did, speaking of presidential impressions, this is one that Robert Smigel was very excited to talk about. Back in the mid-1980s, every comedian did a Ronald Reagan. And basically, the Ronald Reagan was kind of doddering your head and saying, well, that was the impression. Yeah. Johnny Carson's not an impressionist, but Johnny Carson did one, and Mitch Little did one. Robin Williams had just been on the show and he had done one. And Smigel was like, that's just so lazy to reduce this guy to just being, old, basically, right, and saying well a lot. So they came up with a new Reagan where Phil Hartman played Reagan, and the sketch started with kind of that stereotypical Reagan impersonation where he's like, well, he's talking to the Girl Scouts are coming into the Oval Office to visit. And as soon as the little girl leaves the room, he snaps into this completely different persona where he's just a political mastermind. He pulls down a war map. Here's how we're going to divert some funds from we're going to divert money to the Contras. It was such a clever take on Reagan at the time, and a much more subversive, much more original take. And Hartman was the only guy who could play both kind of the doddering old man and then instantly snap into this political mastermind.
Oh, it was great. It really got, maybe the underlying theme was, you know, Reagan was an actor. That's the way he started out. And that the whole thing, this presidency is just an act. What you see in the public is just an act.
Yeah. Yeah, Hartman was great at impressions. Obviously, we talked about the Clinton and the Reagan. I mean, one thing that I find interesting about Phil Hartman is that people didn't really know who Phil Hartman was. Like, what's Phil Hartman's comic persona? He was so good at embodying other people. There's a I love this cold open that Saturday Night Live did while Phil was on the show with Steve Martin. Breaking into song about how he's not going to phone it in tonight. He's going to really try. And all the cast members just start marching with him and like, we're going to really try tonight. We're going to try tonight. And they're each talking about the things they're going to do. Farley talks about he's not going to drink until after update's over. Like, sure, I'll drink till I spew after that, but I'm not going to do it until then. And when it gets to Phil's thing, because like, tonight I'm not going to wear the fake nose. I'm going to show the world what the real Phil Hartman is, who the real Phil Hartman is. And Steve Martin says something like, I don't know if I'd do that if I were you, Phil. And Phil's like, okay. But that's kind of the mystery of Phil Hartman to me, is that, you know, you never really got to see who Phil the guy was, because he was such a master of disguise. He was like such a a man of a thousand faces that who actually was Phil Hartman is, you know, versus, you know, like an Adam Sandler, for example. You kind of get the sense who Adam Sandler is because he's often just being Adam Sandler. That wasn't the case with Phil Hartman.
And then, you know, after he left Saturday Night Live, had was it News Radio, correct?
That's right.
It was a series, and then met way too soon, and a tragic ending to his life, taken way too soon. And you just think, you know, what would have been, you know, to your point, you know, if he would have been around, what sort of things he could have done further on down the line. But we will always have these memories, we'll always have these clips, and thanks to you, we now have a chance to go to crack.com and look at the 75 best sketches on SNL of Phil Hartman, according to his cast and friends. Matt Solomon, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time, taking us down this memory lane. Thank you for all the work that you put in, the research to bring these stories to us. I know people are going to love it if they go to crack.com.
Have a great afternoon. Thanks.
Yep, you as well. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Stay tuned next for Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back tomorrow. On behalf of Matt Solomon and Mr. Aaron Zomers, I'm Todd Allball. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging on your drum.
Connect.
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Baugh.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Ike Ajachi. The first group of hostages have been released by Hamas. They include 12 Israeli detainees, women and children. In addition, 11 Thai nationals and one Philippine citizen have been released.